Let's read together Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through 25. Now, in this last section of Romans 7, the Apostle Paul emphasizes that in this lifetime, we will continue to have a problem with sin because our sinful natures war against the new life that we have in Christ. However, there is victory if we follow the biblical directions. Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 21. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Let's begin this last section of Romans 7 now with some background notes. Romans chapters 5 through 8 contain some wonderful truths for the believer. In these chapters, we learn about the great blessings and benefits of our salvation, chapter 5. We learn about our spiritual position in Christ, the end of chapter 5 and chapter 6. We learn that we are free from the law, chapter 7. Not free to sin or be lawless, but free to serve the Lord in love. And in chapter 8, we will learn that the strength we need to have victory over sin and to serve the Lord in love is available in the power of the Holy Spirit. But before we come to chapter 8, Paul shows us in the second half of Romans chapter 7 what it's like to try to live as a Christian apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice the number of times the Apostle Paul uses the pronoun I in the second half of Romans chapter 7. Paul found that there was an inward struggle going on. Doing the right thing was not automatic, even as a Christian. Sometimes he ended up doing the very thing he didn't want to do. Look back at verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Now, I think we can all identify here, especially if we're Christians. Illustration. How many of you have ever had the experience of wanting to pray for an hour, but you ended up daydreaming or falling asleep on your knees within 15 minutes? Do I see every hand? I should, right? You've had that experience. In other words, what you wanted to do as a Christian, pray for an hour, you didn't do. And what you didn't want to do, fall asleep, that you did. Now, maybe some of you say, no, I actually do it. I pray for a solid hour. Well, then you're probably lifted up with religious pride because you're thinking, ah, I did it. Everybody else falls asleep, but not me. You know, I'm really spiritual. See, there again, indwelling sin got you. What you didn't want to do, be lifted up with pride, that you did. And what you did want to do, be humble, you didn't do. You weren't humble. You're lifted up with pride. Well, this is just one of many illustrations that could be given. You know, just this past week, I was doing a project in our apartment. I'm building some storage shelves. I needed 21 brackets. I went to the bin where the brackets were. And it looked like, wow, maybe there's not 21 here. So I grabbed all of them and put them in the cart and then began to count them out. Well, guess what? There were 22. But as I was driving home, I began to think, now, what if someone had come along as I'm counting out those brackets and needed a bracket? Well, I would have given them. I had 22. I'd give them the other one. Yeah, but you can't put up a shelf with one bracket. They needed two. What would I have done as a Christian? Well, I kind of know what I would have done. I'm so sorry. I was here first, you know. But as a Christian, what I would want to do, I would not want to be selfish. I would want to give that person two brackets. But I would end up doing what I don't want to do because I got to get my project done. On and on we could go. You see, you think you're so holy, but you go through this chapter 7 and you realize we can all identify with what Paul is saying here. So many times, because of indwelling sin, we end up doing what we don't want to do, and what we do want to do, that we don't do. What's the problem here anyway? The problem is the sin that still indwells us, even as believers. Look at verses 17 and 20. Verse 17, "But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." And verse 20, "Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Now Paul is not excusing himself here. He's telling us the source of the problem. And note the present tense. This is the experience of Paul as a believer, and we can all identify. But now don't get the idea that Paul is leading a sinful life or overwhelmed with sin. No, he is sharing with us the truth that as believers, we are not free yet from the problem of sin. Furthermore, Paul is sharing with us what it's like if we try to live life as a Christian in our own strength and do not avail ourselves of the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, more we can say for the introduction. We need to move to the doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal or teaching point number one: the new nature in the believer serves the law of God. The new nature in the believer serves the law of God. Verses 21 and 22. "I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." When we become Christians, we not only receive forgiveness of sins, we are born again. We are given new life in Christ. We are brought into the family of God. Because of this new life in Christ, we have a new nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says that this new nature is divine. It is from God himself. 2 Peter 1, 4. The new nature, get it now, the new nature does not have to work at pleasing God. It automatically pleases God. It is the new nature of the new divine life that we possess in the family of God. This is what the Apostle John most likely had in mind when he wrote 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. "Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God." 1 John 3, 9. At the core of our being, the inner man, we have been regenerated by God. We are new creations. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. "If any person be in Christ, that person is a new creation." And this divine life is sinless. One more time. This divine life that we receive, being born into the family of God, this divine life is sinless. It cannot sin. It is from God and of God. So the new nature does not have to try to keep the law of God. It delights in the law of God. Verse 22 again. "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." The new nature in the believer serves the law of God. Doctrinal point number two: the old nature in the believer serves the law of sin. The old nature in the believer serves the law of sin. The beginning of verse 21 again: "I find then a law that evil is present with me." And verse 23: "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Although the new life that we have in Christ delights in the things of God and has no tendencies towards sin, yet we still sin. Why? Because we still have indwelling sin, or the sinful nature, or what the New Testament calls the flesh. In fact, the sinful nature acts as an evil principle or law in our bodies, always trying to bring us down into the bondage of sin. This sinful nature is never reformed. The sinful nature is never changed. So we cry out with Paul, as in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Have you ever had that experience? Ever cried out like that? Illustration. Have you ever wanted to just worship the Lord and think only pure and holy thoughts? What usually happens? So often other thoughts creep into our minds. Thoughts about who's going to win the game tonight. Thoughts about our work or plans for the weekend. Thoughts about our selfish desires. Thoughts about other people. Even thoughts that aren't so nice about other people. What's going on? The law of sin is in operation to disrupt our worship of God. The law of sin operates on us because we have sinful natures. The old nature in the believer serves the law of sin. Practical application from this last section of Romans 7. Remember, it's who, not what. Remember, it's who, not what. Verse 24, once again. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Notice that Paul does not say, what shall deliver me from this body of death, but who shall deliver me from this body of death? The Apostle Paul knows the solution to the problem, and he's about to share the details with us in chapter 8. But notice in verse 25 how the solution is focused in God himself. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The solution to dealing with the sinful nature, which we will have till the day we die, is who, not what. Just as the key to salvation is not what you do, but who you know, so the key to sanctification is not what you do, but who you know. Sanctification, remember, is the process by which we are made more holy and made more conformed to the image of Christ. And as a result, sinless. Notice, not become sinless, but sinless. This process is going on all the time in our lives. But we don't do it. God does. Philippians 1:6. He that has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The good work here in Philippians 1:6 is sanctification. Notice the key is not what, but who. Remember, it's who, not what. So sanctification does not come by trying in our own strength to be good and keep the law. No, it comes by focusing our attention on the who, namely the Lord himself. Illustration. What is the best way for a married man not to commit adultery? Answer. To be truly in love with his wife. The best solution is not for that man to try with all his might not to look at other women or to repeat the seventh commandment 10 times every day. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. There will never be a problem with adultery if that man is truly in love with his wife. Are you in love with Christ? If you are, your focus will be on him. And that's the key for dealing with the problem of our sinful natures. Remember, it's who, not what.